back to the Seriously Grays podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Kay.
And we're here to talk to you tonight about the Season 9 Grey's Anatomy premiere, Episode 1, titled Going, Going, Gone by Stacey McKee. Now, both of us have had two very different perspectives. I watched when it aired last night, EST, and Kay just recently finished watching it about a couple minutes ago, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. So if I sound like, if I'm not eloquent and if I sound stupid, just know that it's because I am emotionally damaged from what I've just seen, okay? Don't just...
literally what you've just seen.
Yeah, literally. And I mean, just then when you said, I'm Amanda, it took me 2 seconds, or not 2 seconds, but I was like, oh, I have to say my name now.
Yes, you do.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, started out this episode, the same song from the pilot, which have they done before? Because I'm pretty sure they have.
It feels familiar, yeah. I'm not sure.
And it's not just familiar because they used it in the pilot. I think they used it in another episode. So if anyone wants to tell us when. I was a little surprised by it. It was like, I was expecting kind of some gloomy hall passing, but it was all cheerful and I don't know, what'd you think of it?
It felt like the beginning of 101 to me. It felt like we were starting again.
That was the attention.
That's the feeling I had. Like, oh, I'm watching a new show, new characters, and, you know. Mm-hmm. I felt like that's what the intention they had.
We got our first glimpse of the guest star. What's her name again?
Oh, Camilla Ludington?
Yes, which I'm pretty sure she's going to be hanging around this season.
And I felt I'm already fangirling on her, and we got a tweet from her, actually.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
That's how much I know about Twitter.
We did.
What was the tweet again? She just said thanks, right?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah.
I probably tweeted her something about her being hot or something. No. It was something, yeah, Grey's related, and, oh, I think it was a warm welcome to the new faces of Grey's Anatomy, and then I tagged a few people from Twitter, well, the new people, and she said something like, thanks! And I felt all important.
Aww. So, yeah, we see, and I think the other girl's name is Steph, so we have Steph and we have Joe, which I don't
Steph
think
feels familiar.
Said her name, but we
it's
know
Dr.
that's
Wilson,
her name.
So. Isn't it?
Joanne Wilson, maybe? Joe, for short? Anyways.
Joanne.
So, yeah, we see them being very intimidated by Medusa, who we later find out is Meredith. I like how Bailey was there with Meredith. It was almost like she was passing on the torch of being the most feared.
And she was super proud. Like, seriously proud. Seriously. And I felt kind of weird about that, that Bailey would be that proud of Meredith being so feared. Because to me, it feels like Meredith's personality is kind of altered. Or it's not... To me, it didn't feel like it was what Meredith was supposed to be as an attending, right? Mm-hmm. So it feels weird to me that Bailey would kind of embrace that. And
well, she did say, she was like, I expected Yang to take up that position.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, by the way, where we find out that Yang is in, which I like to call Antarctica, but was really...
Alaska, it's terrible.
And she asks Meredith, how is Yang in Minnesota? Meredith does her super beautiful fake smile. She loves it. Cut to Christina looking like she's in freaking Antarctica having the time of her life. I have to say that I ship her with her parka. I am putting the shoes to rest. I tweeted that. Anyways.
I have a question about that.
Sure.
When Meredith says she loves it, does it mean that... Because I was ambiguous about the meaning of that short whatever, I love it. Is it because Christina... doesn't love it, or is it because she doesn't agree with Christina moving? I had a hard time kind of...
I think it's a little bit both, but I have a feeling, this is just in my mind, I have a feeling that Christina might not be, she might be complaining to Meredith, as we saw later in the episode, but I don't think she's necessarily saying, I want to go back, I miss Seattle.
Oh, no,
that
I would
be like, you're right, I'm wrong, and Christina never does that.
No, and I don't think she even thinks that at this point.
I think she kind of misses Seattle.
She misses the people, I'm pretty sure. Not, oh yeah, maybe she misses the environment. Maybe you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she, yeah, we'll talk about it later, I suppose.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Moving on to Richard approaching Derek, we find out that he's been, I guess, doing a lot of workout with his arm. He's squeezing a ball.
Yeah.
He tells him about 5 p.m., and at this point, we do not know what 5 p.m. means. So
my first guess was Mark.
Yeah, I think most people kind of.
Yeah.
I was still too much in, oh my god, Grays is back mode to even pay attention to the finer details and try to think of what those things meant. But then after the next 5 p.m. mention, I started to figure out what it meant.
And they mentioned it like 6 times.
Yeah. So, yeah, Bailey teaching the new interns, interrupted by Ben. And they then proceed going to find an on-call room. We see Bailey being very all her unusual self. I still have not sure how I feel about her new personality, but we'll get to that later.
I don't approve. I'm going to say it right now.
Okay. Well, that's coming. So, yeah, which is occupied by Alex and his new, more like first girl, where he tells her that he can't keep postponing going to Hopkins. So we find out that he stayed the 3 months, obviously, to just stick with his friends, I guess, which I guess is there's a lot of short scenes, to be honest, in the beginning, so.
Yeah, very, yeah.
Very short cuts, so.
But the girl in that scene, where is she from?
Some TV show I don't watch.
Because she's very familiar, I know her. Anyways, doesn't matter.
Yeah, she's familiar too. But, yeah. So, then we find out Callie feels like everyone is staring at her. Derek and her talk about him going back to surgery. Callie is excited. Feels like at this point, looking back on the scene after watching the full episode, it feels like the only happy thing Callie had to hold on to was the fact that Derek, you know, might be able to do surgery again, and that was her doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, why do you think people feel so bad for her? Like, why are they staring at her?
Well, really, at this point, I think it was more them just pushing the fact they wanted us to think Arizona was dead.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Which really got annoying halfway through. Once you knew, you're like, okay, stop talking about a character that we all know isn't dead.
But we don't all know. That's the thing. I mean, people who are into spoilers and articles and stuff like that, we all knew, I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Or we were like 99.99% sure that she was alive, but for most viewers, maybe, I don't know,
But would they really be staring at her just because her wife got her leg? Why would they be staring at her?
Well, because they know Mark is dying that night.
Okay.
And they know Arizona lost a leg, and also they probably know that Derek's fate is kind of in her hands, like, literally.
Mm, yeah.
So, I mean, and to be honest, I felt really bad for Callie, too. Like, not that I would stare at her, but for other reasons. Like, she's hot.
I'd stare at her anytime, okay?
Yes, but yeah. But she would like my kind of staring, and yeah.
Yeah.
We can move on now.
Mm-hmm, okay, so then another quick Meredith and Derek scene in which he informs her that he's going to do surgery. Meredith seems a little hesitant, especially because it's today. I think she had suspicions that he was doing it for the wrong reasons and that he was setting himself up for failure.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, she was clearly not supportive. I don't want to say supportive. She was kind of reluctant to the idea, and I think you're right. Maybe she even suspected that he wasn't ready and, you know, he wasn't going to go through with it.
I think she just worried about him because his best friend was dying, and she didn't want him to put more stress on him, on himself. So, yeah. Then we finally come to the room where Mark is. He's not awake and responsive. Callie is there telling him about Derek doing the surgery when he comes in, and I thought that was very sad. I mean,
she's doing it.
Callie's best friend, who she used to come to throughout to tell him everything, and now she has something to tell him, and he's not there.
Yeah.
She's talking to him, but he's not responding, and it was.
And she's giving him a manicure. Manicure?
I didn't even notice that.
I think so. I'm pretty sure she was.
She starts to seduce Mark.
As I was watching, I actually had to ask myself, how do I feel about this? And I mean, how do I feel about this? Very psychological of me. Anyways, and it feels like something Callie would do. And obviously it was funny and Derek was there. And I mean, you know, No, it felt right. It felt right to the kind of relationship she had with Mark and we don't know at this. And we have to remember that at this point, we think that Arizona is dead also.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of put emphasis on that.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
What really got me was when Derek said, always had to be the first. It's just, I don't know, him saying that just made me sad. Made me think about...
But
what.
Is that true? I mean, because always have to be the first. He wasn't the first to get married.
Well, I don't think he meant it in terms of him accomplishing things. Just, you know how Mark's personality is. He's competitive, wants to be the first, even if he isn't.
Never.
Anyways.
And talking about firsts, I don't know.
Always had to be the first. I just...
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just sad, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flashback to 1994, right before Derek and Addison's wedding.
I just hope you didn't forget the rings.
Derek, you're lucky to have me. You will never, ever find another friend as good as me. Ever.
Never had a friend. Never had a friend. Had a friend like me.
And then what got me, because I saw the screen go black, and I was like, oh, Mark's gonna die. Because usually it's white when it says Grey's Anatomy.
That's true. And then we bow to Shonda.
We bow to Shonda.
Bow to the queen. It's what I do. Well, I don't literally do it, but it's...
Still laughing at what I said before.
It's hilarious. Keep it in.
Okay. Yeah, so then another flashback. Mark and Callie. Mark trying to film a sex tape with Callie, but she's not having it.
I love it. Feels very Callie and feels very Mark. And maybe some people were, I don't know, maybe some people didn't want to see that, which I don't know.
They didn't see it, really.
Yeah, you're right. I love how Callie would not go with it.
Yeah.
And that she wouldn't... Because, I mean... Let's be honest, if Mark Sloan tried to do a sex tape with Callie, he must have tried to do a sex tape with many women, and she's not having the whole, no, it's just...
I wonder if Addison did.
Oh my god, I would pay to see...
Can you imagine if Derek found that tape?
I would pay for it.
Me too.
Okay.
Now we see Meredith writing an appendectomy on the board. Weber and Hunt coming over to talk to her. She says she especially needs to do a surgery today, which is pretty much just what her husband said, and she didn't want him to.
So what's the deal? None of the attendings are doing surgeries. Like Derek and Callie, later they discussed that they shouldn't have done surgery, and Meredith says that she really needs a surgery. So
no. I think Meredith was still doing surgeries, but I think she really wanted to. She was trying to outline how much she needed to do it because Mark was dying.
Yeah.
I still am not quite sure. Like, I know they're all doctors together, but Meredith and Mark weren't that close either, so I could see her needing... Like, plus, it's reminding her of her sister's death.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's kind of the last, I don't know, person that really had a strong link to Lexi other than Derek, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mark, you know. And also, I feel like Meredith and Mark could have had a friendship. You know,
They had the Dirty Mistress Club.
Yes, that's the thing. They had this kind of bond that we didn't get to see much on the show, but I'm pretty sure that they got along kind of well.
I think they noticed some similarities in each other.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think there are some things that Meredith didn't tolerate because she didn't want Lexi to sleep with him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. This is also the scene where we discovered that not only does Meredith have a nickname, but Bailey does as well. And
she's put the Nazi to rest. Yeah.
Back to Minnesota, Christina tries to get Dr. Parker, who talks a lot, dude. I call him talks a lot, dude. To not scrub in with her. But she is met with only humorous responses from the other surgeons. What did you think of that hospital, the way they ran things? Did you think
going
overboard? Do you think hospitals actually do that?
It's a freaking daycare. I cannot handle people who act like that. What is this? Are they living in some kind of freaking rainbow colored?
Yes,
I don't know.
Christina does not belong in that rainbow.
Who could? Seriously. unless you're a daycare person or you work with babies, it works. Other than that, come on.
I mean,
you're a surgeon. You save people's life. Your job is hardcore. Competition is what keeps you running. The will, the need to be better, to get better, to be better than the others, that's what saves lives. Okay?
Yeah.
Yes, protocol is important.
That's what happens at the end of the episode when he confronts her and says that we don't have that kind of system here. And Christina's face is just like, why?
Because they suck.
They suck. Okay.
That's my verdict.
I'm curious to see how long she stays there, but based on promo photos, it's going to be a couple episodes.
I don't know how she does it. Seriously, man oh man. She must really hate Seattle Grace or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, at the same time, I couldn't help but wonder how Seattle Grace could benefit from the hand-holding up when you talk about personal things.
But I mean, yeah, it's such a clash with what we were used to see.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Brief interaction between Meredith and Christina. I love the whole iPads thing. I so knew they were going to do at least some form of a phone call.
Yeah.
That they had a little Skype. It makes sense. I mean, you can't, they're surgeons. They're on the move. They're not just going to sit in front of a computer.
Yeah, and visually it works. You know, there's kind of an iPad is kind of as big as a face. And I don't know. Visually, it's beautiful. I like it.
Christina says that she will be there at 5. Owen sees her. Kind of awkward moment.
How long were they married? Like a year?
They're still married.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, they're not in a relationship, right? They're not divorced. But as far as we know, they're not. Well, he sent her an email making sure that she was surrounded by people. But, you know, I don't know. Seems like they haven't been married long before they got separated.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see next episode how it all comes, like how they interact when Christina gets back from the crash.
Yeah, how did he go from, you know.
Yeah, how did they get that distance again?
Yeah, she's in the psych ward, whatever, and how does he just let her leave?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing that too.
One of the consistent things that we saw, but it was also kind of surprising because the only three you had left at Seattle was Meredith, Alex, and Jackson, which is kind of an unusual threesome.
Yeah.
We still got a luncheon. It was also where we've got our first Lexi bomb, her name. And Alex just kind of casually threw it out there.
You haven't slept with anyone since Lexi.
You haven't banged anyone since Lexi.
Yeah, which, you know, it surprised me that no one knows that Jackson slept with April.
I think that comment served as not only to bring up her name again and show how easy it is to talk about someone and then forget, but also to show that they still don't know about April and Jackson.
Yeah, I think so too. And I like that act, actually. I like that for once something wasn't just, you know, spread through the rumor mill in 2 seconds. I like that there's a secret in Seattle.
It helps that Jackson and April are still a tiny bit on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, they have their own little circle or connection between those two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like Jackson's hair.
I'm not sure. I prefer his eyes when he doesn't have hair.
Really?
Yeah, I think so, but I'm not sure. I'll stand my last judgment on that later.
Okay. So, I keep on wanting to call this intern Joe, but was she ever officially announced as that being her name?
I think Ellen Pompeo said that in an interview, but it's Dr. Wilson.
So Dr. Wilson, Meredith, comes up to the group of interns and chooses her for the appendectomy, reminiscent of the pilot where Burke came up, pretty much word for word, I think it was, to George. So my question is, holy crap, where'd my question go?
Why Dr. Wilson? That's my question.
Not only that, but I wanted to... I was going to ask if you thought it was too forced.
To make similarities?
Because it's very... It reminded me very much of what they tried to do with the season 4.
Yeah, but that kind of failed. It went away.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No, it didn't feel forced. I liked the idea, and... Yeah.
I guess it makes sense because, you know, it was Bailey who did that speech, and it was Burke, so they were different. There was resident and attending, so they were trying to make that, you know, level of a difference in where they were at now,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a tradition, and it's a good way to set up the character Dr. Wilson, if that's her name, Joe Wilson or something. I think it's a good way to show us, you know, who she is as a doctor in a way that feels organic to the show, and it kind of incorporates her, like, faster than mm-hmm. doing some other stuff that we were not familiar with. I think it's just a strategy for us to accept her quicker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm sold.
It'll take me a while. I need to get to know them a little more still. But,
I think I like the actress, and that's my...
That's probably why, yeah.
Yeah.
So then we meet the new Pete's attending, who I really hope doesn't stay for very long.
I hate him. I don't care if it's frickin' Celine Dion. Not a good example. I don't care if it's Angelina Jolie who's playing her. No. Stop bringing in Brad Pitt or whoever, or Pierce Brosnan or James Bond. I'm not gonna buy it. I'm not gonna like him.
Well, that really, really drove the point home where people thought Arizona died.
Yes. And that he mentioned, I'm sorry for your wife. And
in the following scene where he apologizes, and we see Callie immediately close herself into a supply closet and weep. And we kind of thought, well, we were supposed to think that Arizona had died. But now we know that she was just under so much stress and she was upset because Arizona... And was angry at her.
Mark was dying.
And I mean, all everything was just like the whole sky was falling on Callie.
That poor Callie, seriously.
But this is my absolute favorite scene, and it's not just because
of Alex. And she doesn't have anyone to support her. She lost Mark. She's losing Arizona. And then yes, what Alex does is heroic.
Yes. So back to, yeah. So my favorite scene of the entire episode, and it's not just because I love Alex, although that does play a main part. But I just love, because to me, it felt like he's the closest thing to Arizona right now, kind of. And he was trying, I just loved how he guarded the door for her so that she could cry. And I just felt like he was her guardian angel.
Yeah, and he's a presence for her. And, you know, Alex and Callie, they kind of have this silent agreement. You know, the code of silence that
calls her by her first name.
Yeah.
Torres. Which I like. And he was so close to walking out that door. And the whole time I was watching it, I was literally going, don't you dare, don't you dare. And then he closed the door and stayed. And I was like, okay, good.
Yeah, I like it too. Yeah.
So, yeah. That was probably the most prominent scene that sticks out in my mind for that episode.
And I love that she doesn't really acknowledge him. You know, she obviously knows he's there, but she doesn't, she just accepts his presence.
Also, can we talk about, like, how many girls do you think Alex has on the go?
Oh, I'm not impressed. Seriously, Alex? No, not your best move.
Maybe and not.
Never. Interns? In the same... No.
He's giving them the exact same spiel. Sorry, I would love to postpone further, but I gotta go.
Yeah. No.
No, I'm hoping that doesn't last too long.
You know the best clue to as to why it's Dr. Wilson? Because she's not the one he's sleeping with right now.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's my main, and yeah,
it
that's
is, yeah.
my main hint as to why it should be her. We can't, anyways.
Anyways, yeah. So going back to where we were, another flashback to 2010, where Avery is filming Mark do a surgery. I'm kind of glad they kept this in because we got to see, like, the last moment of them working as a team kind of thing. Mark and surgery. We get to hold on to that last image of him behind a surgical mask.
And he feels so Mark Sloan.
Yeah. He was just, no sweat.
But I mean, he's been teaching Avery for 2 years.
Yeah.
Feels like it hasn't does feel been that like long. It's,
yeah. Agree.
Or maybe it was just a random thing they filmed or something. But you know.
I still think it's funny. I can just picture him, you know, holding his camera like he's doing some kind of project, and Mark making all these really inappropriate comments that Avery has to cut. Look what I learned. Yeah.
I would love to see the whole director's cut of that video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we go back to Christina, who's being hilarious in the gallery as everyone's trying to learn. What did you think of her total inappropriate behavior?
It wasn't appropriate. You know, I wondered if the doctors who were operating weren't...
I don't think the intercom was on.
No, I don't think so. But as I watched, I wondered about that. But yeah, I think for the amount of people who were in the gallery, it's dangerous to be that mean to someone.
Yeah.
People aren't that tolerant to meanness that mm-hmm. is that free. And, you know, I think it's dangerous for her. She's kind of isolating herself. You know, she doesn't like her superiors. She doesn't seem to like her peers.
Yeah, she is isolating herself.
So it's, you know...
It's just her and Meredith.
Yeah, and she'll find it hard at some point. Meredith isn't, you know, physically there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about Bailey getting it on.
And I disapprove.
The interns giggling outside the door.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like how she became such this, you know, the beginning of the series, she was this fearsome beast
yeah.
who didn't want to wake up because... You know, she was going to bite your head off. And now mm-hmm. you can slide, you know, whatever underneath the door for her to look at while she's getting it on with her Ben.
Yeah. I have a hard time with it, too. I mean, I don't think that to show us a love story for Bailey and to make us believe in it, you have to make her into such a schoolgirl.
But you know, why are they doing that? Why do you think they are? Do you think it's just because they're trying to give her something to do? Do you think there's a purpose? Are they trying to prove that she's more human or something? Because you don't need to do that to be prove that.
No, we know that Bailey's human. It's the point. She's been protecting those interns as if they were her own children all along. We've seen that. I don't know what's the purpose. And I have a really hard time getting on board with it. I have, you know, I don't know.
I don't like it either. It still feels like my mom, and I don't want to see
yeah.
my mom doing that.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, yeah. And it's one thing to kind of make us guess that she's doing that, like, but just making
just,
us see it, it's too
it
much.
I think it puts the whole show off balance.
Yeah, it does. It's not Bailey. Who's, she's not comical relief in that sense.
No, it doesn't even make me laugh anymore.
No, me neither.
Never
me
did,
neither.
Actually.
And I get that they needed light stuff, but it could have been
well,
done
yeah.
many other ways. Many. Many.
Like with Callie and the boobs comment.
Yeah, exactly. And she's the one living the drama. And, yeah.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Meredith being bitchy or anything with her interns could have been very hilarious, too. So, yeah. No,
No, I don't approve.
No, me neither. And I hope that I'll grow into it, and because it seems that it'll last. But you know, at this point, I'm glad that he's not a regular on the show, and that I
well,
won't.
I hope he never is.
No, me too.
We have enough of that.
Yeah. So and I don't feel like he brings anything new.
Yeah, I agree. So new Pete's guy, still wandering around, says to Alex, "Arizona liked you." It's like, liked, past tense. What were your thoughts?
Oh, it's Owen. Well, she's not working, so it kind of makes sense. I like that, just a thought, I like that Owen waited 3 months to hire a new guy.
True. I never thought of that.
That's very considerate, I think.
Mm-hmm. Because once he found out that she didn't want to return, or that she was, you know, in no shape emotionally to return, then he decided that he had to.
Yeah.
I find, in general, Owen redeemed himself in many ways this episode.
Me too. I kind of fell in love with him again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to discuss the Alex Arizona thing. I like that it's Owen who told the guy that Arizona liked him. It means that respect for Alex goes beyond herself. You know, people are aware that she liked Alex.
I like that too. I like that it's unknown.
It's a known thing, and that Owen would time to mention it. Also, I don't know. Like it.
And then Alex finds out that Pete's guy intends to not continue with the African kid program that him and Arizona worked so hard on together, and he is not impressed.
And it's not on my agenda? What the
hell? He's like, what do you mean it's not on your agenda? It's sick kids!
What is that? It's the best PR you can do to a hospital. How can it not be in your agenda? Seriously, this guy, he has nothing going for him.
That's the point, though, I think. But I'm curious to see if how long he's going to stay.
2 seconds. I am not tolerant.
Yeah, you're not tolerant.
Well, not about that. No, well, I'm okay with my baby being away, but anyways.
Intercom is on while interns insult Meredith. That was kind of... I don't remember... Although I do... I guess. But I don't remember Intercom ever being on just casually while watching a surgery. I thought you had to actually turn it on for a purpose.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember Meredith's reaction.
She didn't care. She looked up.
She didn't care, right?
They realized that she could hear them. And then Joe, Dr. Wilson, casually just mumbles, I don't think you're a demon. Meredith just tells her to keep going.
I like them together.
I mean,
I don't really see that Meredith was really teaching her in a very good way. Not that it was bad, but you know, I didn't see that Meredith was a great teacher, but I like their dynamic. I think it's going to be interesting how that evolves.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Derek finally gets into the OR to do his surgery. Callie's watching with very excited eyes. Derek says it's a beautiful day to save lives, and they begin the surgery. And then he drops the instrument.
Da-da-da.
Instead of giving it a minute like Callie says, he immediately just wants to get out of there. What did you think of that?
I'm wondering if his thing isn't psychological, like psychosomatic. That because he was in the OR, he began to have numbness. You know?
Hmm. Well, it was, he couldn't squeeze. What was his problem? What was it, like a pair of something? I don't know instrument names, but whatever.
Forceps, whatever.
And it was, that was the problem. So, like, other than that, he was doing good. So I think he just needs to, like, continue squeezing the ball some more.
Oh, that feels wrong. and Mark is dying, so he won't find his balls there.
Oh my god, Kay.
I'm so inappropriate, I shouldn't record.
So, 2009, did they get that date right for Callie and Arizona's wedding?
It could work. It could work. I'm on board with the fact that they've been married for 2 years, and it could work with 2009 and 2012. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm on board with that. But 3 years, totally not on board. But yeah, 2009, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love that what Mark says. I love that he believes in them as a couple, although we've never seen, I don't feel like we've ever really seen that on the show, you know? We've really never really seen Mark supporting Callie and Arizona as a couple. Yeah. But I love that deep down he does, and I love what he says. And also, I love that, ironically, their marriage is presently falling apart. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're going through a rough patch.
I like how he said, Callie, Arizona, I love you.
He's adorable.
Well, don't get too attached.
Oh.
Then we see Alex going to Callie.
Says his partner would be Lexi Gray. We should mention that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's important.
Yes, that was
important. Of course, they had to mention this Lexi ship, and they couldn't bring Kyler Lee back, so I think it was a good way to, like, reassure this Lexi fan that Mark was still in love with Lexi, even though at this time, I'm pretty sure she was with Jackson, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I love that he says that openly.
Yeah.
I like
too.
It.
Then we see Alex, who tries to go to Callie about the PEDS program. I like that he goes to Callie.
Me too. And it reminded me of the scene in the finale. Your wife is bonkers.
Yes, me too, actually.
And now he just uses Arizona as a positive argument, which is...
Yeah.
Of the...
I like how he's still... Not that I blame Callie, because she has enough on her plate, but I like that he's still, you know, trying to make sure that things don't fall apart, because maybe he thinks that, you know, one day Arizona will come back.
Okay, here's my question. If Callie had supported him, if she had taken it upon her shoulders, do you think that Alex would have left Robkins?
I don't know.
Because when he comes back, he says, new peace guy is going to wreck everything.
He would have found another way, I think.
And he would have, yeah, well, that's, you know, I feel like it really played in his decision to stay.
Yeah,
Meredith, of course.
He even said that.
Yeah, that's my point. But if Callie had told him, don't worry, I'll make sure it stays, it would have only been Meredith.
Well, while we're on the subject, because I don't want to talk about it twice, I really didn't like the way Meredith talked to him and guilted him. And like, I really hope the main reason he stayed was because of Arizona and that project or program or whatever. Because I just didn't like the way Meredith talked to him. And I just felt that it wasn't, you know, he didn't deserve that.
But it felt like something Meredith would do at that point. I feel like Meredith...
I can see that she was scared, yeah.
Yeah, she was desperate.
But no, I hope that it was the other reason. I mean, I'm glad. And also, obviously, because he'd miss his friends, but... I hope he wasn't guilted into it.
Yeah. But we know he feels guilty, right? So even if he stays for Arizona, it's guilt also. He feels guilty that he...
I understand why he just wants to get out of there. I mean, everything is a, you know...
It's a mess,
him
yeah.
Working with, even him working with the new peace attending would be a memory that he should have been on the plane.
Yeah, everything. But I mean, him leaving wouldn't change that. You know...
No, I know. But he just wanted to get away from it, I guess.
And he would hear from it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I hope we'll get to see more of why you stayed and...
I really, really can't wait to see the first Alex in Arizona scene. But I think we might be waiting for a little bit.
Yeah, at least not this.
But I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
Moving...
I think she'll kick the crap out of him. I like to believe that. She will tell him, get
with her new
that.
Leg.
Aww.
Oh, sorry.
I, yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that. So,
yes.
Dr. Wilson makes some mistakes, the same mistakes as George did. What did you think of this? Did it remind you of season 4 with the repeat of, wait, I already asked that question.
We talked about that, yeah.
Yes, it was very similar, exact same thing, mirrored. I kind of like the insight we got later on from Owen about how it was designed to make you fail. We never had that with George.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe that explained why they kept on screwing up.
But my question is, how do you design a surgery to fail? Was it a real corpse? Because what the fuck is that?
It's an actual person that needs surgery.
Okay, and you make them fail? How is that ethically...
I think they have somebody at the ready, and it's an instant fix. I don't think it's a big problem when it happens, unless you let it.
But
problem persists. I know, but that's how doctors learn.
Big
it's like the whole whatchamacallit thing from season 8.
Gunther,
yeah.
No, it's the same thing.
Kind of.
No, the Gunther wasn't rigged. I mean, that's...
Well, it was still a risky thing to do for a patient.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Is that the similarities I'm drawing it to? Is they do things like that to teach... But I don't think, yeah.
Do you imagine being the freaking patient for the gun?
I don't think they know.
Oh my god, that's not funny. I don't want surgery anymore.
Well, you know, there's always somebody right there trying to just step in.
Still.
I know. So we don't want to scare people from going to the hospital. We'll continue forward with Christina stands up for her surgery from Parker guy who talks a lot.
Oh, you know what we didn't say? It's the guy who examined her at
the
board.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. I find that very funny.
Me too.
He's already had a good taste of her personality.
I don't know why they didn't mention it, though, because I'm not sure everybody took notice of that.
He's probably torturing her for fun now.
Maybe.
Just a short scene showing how she's making a stand, trying to, you know, make things a little bit the way they were back home.
Uh-huh. It makes sense. I mean, it was her patient.
Is that a yawn I detect, Kay?
No, I'm totally awake. There's cake and donuts and cake and hats and flutes and I love you.
So then we see Callie and Derek. This is, I guess, obviously right after he got out of the surgery. He puts his hand brace back on. Poor Callie. She's just trying to comfort him, I guess.
And I need to say this now. We learn later that Arizona blaming her for losing her leg. And, I mean, can you imagine the pressure? She thought she's blamed for losing
her
leg. And then she will be blamed if Derek loses his hand. Yeah. And, I mean, it must be such a goal for her to fix him.
Mm-hmm.
It must be such a goal. I cannot imagine how much pressure she must put upon herself to save his hand.
I agree.
Just to kind of, in a screwed up way, redeem herself for losing Arizona's leg, which I'm sure she didn't lose. I'm sure it's some kind of messed up way that Callie's not to blame at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we come back to Mark, which we found out that Jackson had been actually talking to him about their cases. And at the end, he says,
"You've taught me a lot, but I think I really know what I'm doing now, so I'm good. Plastics Posse's gonna live on." Because I can take it from here.
And I love how he makes Mark respond.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a dialogue. It's not just...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of get an idea of how they used to banter.
Yeah, and that's the best acting we've seen, in my opinion, from Jesse Williams. And I mean, it's about time to give him some material like that.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you know, make us see beyond the pretty eyes.
Yeah, I agree.
Make us see his soul.
Doesn't have much going for him right now.
Well, he's got a nice body and good eyes. You know.
True. I like how it was Callie and Derek at his side.
Me too. Me too. Ow.
It just felt very like the two closest people in his life. And it was just, I like how this is the beginning of Callie and Derek's, you know, bonding. And I can see now why that this is going to happen. Because they have
I think it already started, but it's, you know, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it had started, but a part of it was because of Mark and also because of the hand thing.
And I love how to me, if they go on that route and they really become friends, it could be one of Gray's first really mature friendship, you know, LT friendship. And I love it. It's going to sound weird, but I love that Callie is losing Mark, that, in my opinion, wasn't the most healthy of friendships at any stage, even just before he died. And now she's moving on to a healthier friendship with one of Mark's best friends. I don't know. I think it's beautiful and
oh, it's sad but funny.
I don't see how it's funny, but
I'm just laughing about everything. This is a stress.
Okay.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
You're seeing, I'm married to an orthopedic surgeon and I can see my bones. Okay.
Okay, I'm good.
I think I'm in a bit of a shock.
I'm in a bit of a shock still. I'm just like at the laughing at the funeral.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was just sad that
It's about time, man. Give us a healthy friendship. I mean, I can presume that Teddy and Arizona were a healthy friendship, but I'm not sure they had that, you know, strong a bond as we think we like to think. I think they were a healthy friendship, but, you know. Yeah. Derek and Callie, if I would love to see that.
Yeah. I like also Richard. I think that he was very nobody talks about it much, but I think the way he, you know, told Callie and Derek and how he explained how important it was for him to say
yes.
The whole doctor thing was very well said.
I agree. Very, very, I loved it.
His voice yes. always has this calming, like, thing, and I just liked how it carried over the scenes, over to Christina looking at the clock, at everybody waiting outside.
He said the whale, I love it. Me too. He feels such like a father figure.
Yeah, he's still Mufasa.
He's Mufasa, exactly, yeah.
But yeah. Aww. And Callie and Derek's faces. Just so heartbreaking.
I have to admit, I cried really hard. All through the episode, I cried a lot for Mark's death, and I feel like I should say that because
I did too.
I've often expressed some not so nice opinions about Mark, or well, they were nice opinions. They were not anyways. Some strong opinions about Mark that were kind of negative, but. You know, I still appreciated him as a character, and I cried a lot, and of course I'll miss him. Yeah. And
Do you know what I think it was, though, that probably made us cry, whether you're a Mark fan or not? It's the fact that he's an integral part of the family, you know? And just seeing someone who we consider like a family and we know so well have... We've seen our doctors do this a million times. They did it for Derek, you know, Gary Clark, and all these other characters. They have to take off life support. George's dad, which was sad, but somehow not quite as sad as this, because it wasn't just a quick death. You know, it was very slow, and we had to let go of him. And I think that's what made us. Okay, I felt like this was the more final Mark, because it was a very long stretch of, you know.
Yeah. Slipper. I don't care.
Okay. But I was talking about it because Meredith, the scene after came with Meredith saying how they tried to keep him alive. And she gets up and says she's going to Christina.
Yes.
Because she gets upset, because Mark is dying. So some people I read online thought that was disrespectful and selfish of her to leave Derek like that. But others I find are understanding because of what she's been through and that she just didn't want to see another person die. And what do you think? Do you think the Twisted Sisters are becoming too overwhelming and a little, like, you know?
I don't think it's about Christina at all.
No?
I seriously don't think it's about Christina. I'm not saying that the Twisted Sisters are, you know, they are too kind of an LT friendship in a way. But yeah, I don't think her decision was about Christina. I think it's, you know, she hasn't dealt with Lexi's death yet. And I think that seeing Mark go would kind of bring her back to that. And she doesn't want to face it. She doesn't want to face it. She doesn't want to face Mark's death. She doesn't want to face Lexi's death even less. And I mean, I get that it can be perceived as disrespectful, but Derek is living something very personal, and I'm not sure if Meredith's presence is that comforting to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's not important, but he's so in the moment and living something intense, and Callie's there with him, and yeah.
She doesn't feel a part of it?
No, I'm saying Derek. I don't think he'll blame her for it. I don't think he... No,
I don't think he will either, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think Meredith feels excluded. I don't think that. I think she just has a hard time dealing with Mark's death and Lexi's, because she hasn't dealt with it.
Yeah.
And, And it brings her back to the woods, clearly. You know, she says it to Jackson. If we fought so hard, we thought that if we only fought it back. True. And that's like...
opening it up.
They fought so hard, and now he's dying. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
For a week.
I'm just trying to... I'm trying to picture them, like, trying to keep him alive. That must have been so horrible.
I have a... Do you think she said a week, and she's exaggerating?
I think it could have been 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
But, you know, in some people's perspective, that's a work week, so they probably just said...
Yeah.
I heard
a week.
Can
you imagine for the, like, Owen and Callie and Bailey and all of those who were in Seattle?
Yeah. I'm so excited for next week's episode.
Oh, my God.
Anyways. Wow. And we see Dr. Wilson crying in the hall. Owen finds her. I don't know why, but I really like Owen in this scene.
I like Owen in general. Yeah.
But just the way he explained it to her. I like that he was the kind of free, wandering soul of the halls, there to tell everybody what to do while everybody else was in mourning.
That's true. You know, I don't remember. Oh, okay, yeah. So Wilson brings up the theory that maybe it's because of the plane crash.
Yeah.
She puts that, yeah. And... really, I think, I believe that. I believe that the crash is the main reason or one of the reasons why Meredith is so pissed off and bitchy. I mean, there's...
I think it's also because, like, Christina's gone, too.
Yeah, well, that's all subsequent to the crash.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a big part, and I have a hard time accepting the fact that no one seems to... maybe they accept it. Or they see it, but no one seems to acknowledge it or to bring it, to talk about it to Meredith or to anyone. And I don't know. It feels weird to me that Bailey would embrace the new Nazi Meredith and no one would kind of say, no, it has nothing to do with the crush. He didn't say that, but, you know, he defended her. And I mean, it's... it feels unrealistic to me that they wouldn't, equate the two to one another.
Mm-hmm. So Christina apparently got told to go get some rest and relaxation, which I'm very curious to see what she's going to do with that.
Hmm?
Christina?
Yes?
What are you typing?
Oh, I was tweeting something.
Bad girl. Is she going? She got advice to get some rest and relaxation. What do you think she's actually gonna do with that?
She's gonna kill herself.
No.
Like, I mean, no, not literally, and that's not a joke to make. But you don't tell Christina Yang to take a break.
Relaxation.
You don't do that. Who are these people? Seriously, who are these people? It's like they don't know who they are dealing with. I really have a hard time with that whole hospital. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have no idea what she'll do with it, but
coming episodes, it'll be interesting.
I would freaking...
maybe, you know what? But I bet you so much she doesn't even listen. She just comes back into the hospital. And the whole next time that she's there, it'll be like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here?
Or we don't hear from it again.
Oh, possibly. That's another possibility. So, before Alex leaves, he just can't bear not to tell Bailey what her new nickname is. Which we discover is BCB, also known as Booty Call Bailey. That's
and
a bit of a downgrade.
Sam, who's been a co-host with us, tweeted that whoever came up with that name, so that nickname for Bailey, should win an award. And I kind of agree.
CB.
It's funny, Booty Call Bailey. I like it.
That's hilarious.
I like it. Oh, I wonder if they had kind of like, they were writing on the board all nicknames that Bailey could have, and then someone threw out BCB!
Yep.
And they were like, yes!
Yep. I love how Alex got so much pleasure in telling her. Like, he said it was like his farewell gift. He's like, I need to do this.
And I love how Jackson and the chief were like, no, no Corelli. Don't.
I love Bailey's little squeak she makes after. She's like, what?
Also, did you
know? And
then
she's like, back Rev.
She's like, she told Meredith, it makes the interns respect you and fear you.
Yeah.
And clearly no one would fear Bailey because she's BCB, right? But who fears her? Jackson, the chief,
oh,
everybody
yeah.
superior than an intern.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So we see Alex and Meredith, they meet at the airport. This is where I said already what I thought about this, but she gets angry at him for leaving. He says he can't be here, he can't be the guy who should have been on the plane. And then he walks away after bumping into Owen.
Which I didn't think that Alex had registered that it was Owen.
No, he did. After he
passed. Yes, I know he did, but when I saw the scene, I was like, really? You didn't see that was Owen?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't say anything, he just says, like, watch it, like, as if it was a stranger.
Then I think he notices it, but he just turns the other way because he's still pissed off.
Yeah, he does notice it. We know it from later on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the scene, I really thought he hadn't noticed. And, I mean, really, Owen, Alex, and Meredith are at the airport at the same time?
Yeah, I know. Chances of that. They did that in private practice, too. They had people passing each other.
And they all bump into one another, and
it's like, oh, hey. It's funny. Although I do feel I'll talk about it later, but Christina. So Mark flatlines, Derek and Callie cry. Then we get a shot of him holding who is supposed to be Sophia but doesn't look like her, but I guess they couldn't have her because she's not that small anymore.
No, but I love when, what's his freaking name? Patrick Dempsey, when he does crying scenes.
Yeah, he does this look on his face and his eyes.
It breaks my heart. Seriously breaks my heart. He looks so heartbroken.
He's like a puppy dog.
Just thinking about it, I'm tearing up, seriously.
Aww. Yeah, there's a couple. A lot of the actors actually are really good criers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, though, that his face is just really... You can feel the pain that he feels.
Yeah, wow.
It was still the frat house, but it looked different.
Oh, we didn't talk about the Mark holding Sophia. I cut you off on that. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, you're right. It didn't look like Sophia. And yeah, she had pale hair.
I like that we got to see these glimpses of him that obviously people wanted to have seen and they never showed.
And I want to imagine Mark as the kind of guy who films stuff.
I think he totally is.
Me too.
Just
I want
his character.
Yeah, at parties, annoying people about filming.
Oh yeah.
I can totally see that.
I think he'd be a hilarious narrator.
Oh my god, yes. Yes.
Now I want to watch... Now I want to watch all of Mark Sloan's home videos. But maybe not the ones rated, like...
I want to. Well, depends on whom, but yeah, I watch a few. That is so inappropriate.
What is?
Talking about Mark Sloan's sex tape and wanting to watch. What is this? Good thing we're rated R on iTunes.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Okay, so random shot of Derek and Zola.
Oh my god.
You know what? I didn't even notice it was a dream house.
No, it is. I saw it in the second watch. I paused it. And it is the dream house. But
it makes sense.
So it's a different set, which we'll hopefully get to explore later.
So he went back home and went to his daughter. And, you know, he doesn't seem...
Played with her with that sad puppy dog look in his eyes.
Did he?
Yes.
Aww.
We saw a brief glimpse of Zola.
Oh, baby. Oh, I just spoke French.
That is the language I just invented.
That was Spanish.
I can speak Spanish and I didn't know it. Christina talks to Meredith through their iPads once again. I love how they take their iPads everywhere and just pull it out and talk. Like, they're right beside each other. At the bar, wherever.
Yeah, I like it too.
It's cute.
I would be so self-conscious.
I wish I was brave enough to do that, but I'm
exactly.
not. I would never do that.
I could grow to do it, but yeah, it would take a few times for me to get comfortable with doing it. Because yeah. it doesn't feel private.
No, and it feels kind of like you're talking to yourself, in a way. Even
yeah.
though you're not, but... I'm really, can I just say, I'm really beginning to like the Max scenes. I mean, I'm almost forgetting magic. I just love Christina and Meredith and Alex.
Oh, I like them too. Yeah, they're a great trio. They, yeah.
I mean, I really think that they're still strong. I just like their scenes.
They're very silent when it comes to loving one another. And I kind of love that. You know, they support one another, but it's not some cheesy friendship where they say, I love you all the time, you know?
Yeah.
It's just,
I love the Meredith and Alex hug and how Christina, we got a glimpse of how Christina saw it.
Yeah, now she's all, point me towards him, point me towards the person.
Yeah.
She's all curious.
And then, this is a point I wanted to bring up. Alex says to Christina, when Hunt arrives, tell him that I'm staying. And then he says, isn't he going to see you? Alex doesn't know, does he? That they're not together?
Oh.
I don't think he does. Like, the look Meredith gave the camera when Alex said that, and he was totally just like, yeah, isn't he going to see you? And, like, Meredith and Christina were just kind of, like, awkward eye contact. I didn't see that.
Oh. So you think...
He thought that Owen was going to see her, and he has absolutely no idea that what happened. And so he's out of the loop in that regard.
So there are more than one secret in Seattle.
It hit me when I saw the scene, because Christina's look on her face, and Alex wasn't... Yeah, I don't think he knows.
Well, to be fair,
It did happen near the end, so...
Does Owen and Christina even know if they're together? You know, we don't really know that. We don't know how they were when Christina left.
No.
So,
It's kind of awkward, like... People are still talking to you like you're together, that they might, you know, you're happy and you don't know, so.
And I was sure he was going to Christina, too.
Yeah, I was, too. So I kind of like that change of events, because...
And I found it very weird, actually. I was like, why is he going to Christina?
Yeah. Then we find out that he didn't go to see Christina, he went to go see April. And at this point, I thought that we weren't going to see April at all this episode.
Me, too. I was scared. Yeah, and she has a pig.
Did you notice the color difference?
Like, it was bright.
It was so brightly saturated. It looked like a scene from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, and I kind of loved it.
It was so April.
And I love that there was a pig, and it kind of brought us back to, you know, first episode we got with Owen with the pigs. I don't know, I just like the fact that...
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that, that's funny.
There was a healthy living pig in front of Owen, and he didn't stab it.
I still haven't forgiven him for that.
Well, he doesn't kill alive pigs, we just saw that, you know. And also, in the finale, isn't it a pig that April says, you know, I had a pig.
No, I think it's, I had a duck, because they're having duck, and then it was, I had a cow.
Oh, it's not pig.
Yeah.
Oh, sad.
So, my questions are, couldn't Owen have just picked up the phone? Why do you think he actually wanted to fly there? Do you think it had anything to do with his talk with Dr. Wilson? Do you think it inspired him or something in some way to bring her back? Or was this a decision he had previously already made?
Well, I think he kind of tells her, you know, I keep on backtracking. I keep on looking for what I did wrong, where I gone wrong. And the only thing I fix is you, and I want to do it the proper way. I mean, I love that he brings her back so he can teach her. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. I hadn't thought of that. I love it. I mean, it's an important statement, and he needs to be present physically to tell her that. He needs to tell her hi to hi so she will believe him.
Do you think?
You know?
Do you think? Not that he saw this, but do you think maybe he did? That when he saw Jackson with Mark, it made him feel like he needed to get April back because he wanted to teach her.
Did he see it?
I am not sure, but if he did, maybe. You know, he is the chief after all, so he probably had an idea of what was going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, if that's the case, I mean, I just want to give Owen a big, huge hug after this episode.
Me too, I love him. And I mean, I remember being in love with Owen, and that's the guy I loved. And I mean, I had a hard time with him when he cheated, and I don't think it was out of character at all. I had a hard time with that. I'm not saying he's totally forgiven, but, you know, I love that he's a great guy. He's just a great guy.
Yeah.
Deep down.
I hope that him and Christina can sort things out. But at the same time, I like that he didn't just make a spontaneous trip to go see Christina, because I feel like that would be really kind of rude. I don't know. Like, you can't just push yourself on a person.
Yeah. I'm really intrigued as to how they will fix Christina and Owen. Seriously, I don't see how it can be fixed. I really don't. And I don't want to say I don't have faith in them as a couple, but I don't see how they can make things right. And I'm looking forward to see how they will, if they do, which I think they will.
Yeah, me too. Okay. And then, Callie walks to her bedroom. She seems to steel herself before opening the door, which leads us to believe this has been going on for some time. Like, she honestly seems very nervous. And then she opens the door and we see Arizona's alive! Yay!
But we're left to wonder in what state. I mean, she has her back turned. It takes time for her to face Callie. And, yeah. I don't know what to say. So
she gives her this big speech about everything she's been going through. How she just lost her best friend, and she can't lose her too. And then she tells her to snap out of it.
Get up. Get the hell out of bed and snap out of this. If not for me, then for Sophia, because she lost a parent last night. And I lost my best friend, and I will be damned if I lose you too.
Snap out of this. Snap out of this. I can fight. I can fight. How the hell am I supposed to snap out of this when you cut off my leg?
And then this is the moment where we see Arizona reveal what a lot of viewers was probably a really big shock, that she lost her leg on the plane crash. And what was your first reaction?
It feels totally in character that Arizona would react like that. I wasn't surprised. If they were doing the whole amputation storyline, I was kind of pretty sure that Arizona would take it really hard, and that she would blame Callie, and that she would push her away, and she will have a hard time dealing with it.
I'm actually going to put the whole quote in, but
amputation. Amputation is a serious storyline. If they're going that way, which they are, obviously
yeah.
they need to make it right. You know, it can't be fixed in two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to go on for 4 and 5 and even 6. You know, a whole arc for the first quarter of the season, I think. And did you notice Kelly's reaction when Arizona says, "You cut my leg off"? Kelly kind of can't.
Well, I know. I remember as soon as she took the blanket off, Kelly closed her eyes and she kind of had to look away a little bit. And a lot of people are saying, "Why can't you look at your wife because she's amputated?" But I don't think that's it. Just looking at her and seeing how upset she is just makes her feel so guilty because she couldn't fix it. I don't know.
Oh, can you imagine? My God.
Is that what you were going at by Kelly's reaction?
Well, I felt like Kelly kind of, you know, from the reaction I got from Kelly, I really don't believe Kelly has anything to do. Well, she has something to do, but she's not responsible for the leg being cut off.
No, she couldn't operate on her wife. But
no.
The way Arizona sees it.
No, I don't mean that in a literal sense.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Callie will fight for that leg like no one ever has. Mm-hmm. She's an orthopedic surgeon. She knows her shit. She will do everything and anything to save that leg.
Yeah.
And I really don't think she's to blame for that.
No.
Seriously don't.
But still, it's such a horrible situation to be in because, you know, your wife is an orthopedic surgeon and you feel like you have no one else to blame.
Oh, yeah. I totally get why she blames Callie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And it's not the right thing to do in the sense that
I feel terrible for Callie. In Arizona. I feel terrible for both of them.
And, yeah, I wonder who will help her through this. You know, if you blame Callie, there needs to be someone who will kick her ass. There needs to be someone who will make her see things differently.
Who, Callie or Arizona?
Arizona.
Yeah. I think Alex might, but I don't know how, because he has his own guilt to deal with.
I want to go... I want to say it's someone we haven't really seen Arizona interact with. I want someone new to...
Oh, I think Jessica Capshaw did say she has some upcoming scenes with Bailey, which brings them back to the whole beginning of her character coming into the season, to the show.
Okay.
So maybe it could be Bailey with one of her enlightening speeches, which I could see.
I want this to be such a beautiful storyline. I want this to be done properly. It's serious.
I would just say that I like Callie Arizona, but I've never been a huge, huge Callie Arizona fan. I've never really, you know, loved their storylines. But I'm really, really excited for this season with their storyline. I just have to say that. Because I think that Jessica Capshaw and Sutter Mears are going to be amazing.
Yeah. I love them as a couple. I know they'll get through this, but I know there's a hard time ahead. And, yeah. I mean, it's already been 3 months. Arizona is back home. She seems to be in some kind of a depression, obviously. And Callie's still letting her live. You know, technically, Callie, where does she sleep? Right next to that person.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine how freaking...
Oh, I know.
Ah.
3 months, like, well, how long has she been out of the hospital? That's the question.
Callie is so strong. And Arizona, too. I mean, if you look at Arizona's stories through the show, you see that things don't happen because of Arizona, but mostly they happen to Arizona. And I feel like she's been through so much shit, undeserved shit, you know? And I mean, at some point, you have to break down. She's been a good man in a storm, but now she's breaking down and she needs someone who will help her. And it feels right that at some point, she can't do it anymore. She just lost Nick. She lost her brother. She's been through hell with Callie and Mark and the baby and the car crash and Africa and everything. And I mean, at some point it's too much.
Yeah, she can't even process Mark's death, I bet.
Yeah.
She's just so overwhelmed, and yeah.
And I better not see a single person tweet that, or Tumblr, or Facebook, or freaking send me an owl telling me that it's selfish, that she needs to think about her wife and her daughter and whatever. She does, but it's not selfish.
Yeah, I agree. I really hope eventually she needs to... Not snap out of it, but she needs to somehow find the strength to get out of bed and face everything.
She will.
Eventually.
She will.
And I think it's going to be a beautiful storyline.
It'll be amazing. I'm excited about that storyline. I really am. And I think they can pull it off, but they need to do it carefully. And I mean, if anyone can do it on a show, it's J-Cap and Sara.
Mm-hmm. As a final question, before we go to the ending, what did you think of the way they paced the episode with the flashbacks? Because right after this scene aired with Callie in Arizona, we go with this beautiful voiceover talking about pieces that you leave behind to Mark, Callie in Arizona, obviously right after Sophia was born, taking a video.
It was the same, the day she actually came home, they were wearing
the same clothes. Yeah, like
yeah, I noticed that.
And, yeah, so we see the last shot that he took of himself, and it felt very Mark Sloan, 1968, 2012. It felt like a real person had just died with that final, like, you know what I mean? It's kind of...
Yeah, and that last shot of him, he was beautiful. He looked so happy. And I love, they talk about you leave things behind, and the thing he says, we have a kid together. What did he leave behind? He left Sophia and his family, and it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love what he said. He was like, we have a kid together, Robin, so you're stuck with my help. I think it was the perfect, what's the call? It was the perfect video clip or whatever to come after the scene that followed, I think.
And we got, closure for everybody that was important in his life. We got closure for Jackson, Lexi, Derek, Callie, and that last one was kind of the one for Sophia, but also for Arizona, I feel.
I felt like it was for the whole family. It was heartbreaking to see them at that stage where they were still, it was still so new to them. Arizona was still, you know, hesitant about including him in her family, and now we see how broken they are. And it just makes me cry.
Oh my God, man, this show. It's, wow.
So my question was, what did you think of the way they paced the episode with the flashbacks, the dates flickering ahead and backwards? Was it an appropriate goodbye episode for Mark Sloan?
I liked it. It came as a surprise. I was really, really surprised. I did not anticipate that or predict that or think about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I loved it. It was a good way because, you know, he's dying and he's in a coma, so we can't see interactions in that episode from him. So the flashback kind of gave us those interactions that would have lacked otherwise.
Yeah. I think it was a really good way to approach.
Yeah.
It. I really liked it. I actually liked it a lot better than the season 6 premiere with George. Although it was a different, you know, style, but I like this better.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they couldn't, obviously, with TR Knight, because he didn't come back. But I think they took advantage of the fact that they had Eric Dane still, and I think they'd made a good choice.
Yeah, they made it. Yeah. Like, if we compare it to how we had, you know, the goodbye we had with Lexi was, actually, we didn't get any.
Yeah, no.
We got a death scene and some last-minute confessions from her.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure we'll get to deal with that later. When Meredith decides to face the death of Lexi, I think that's when we'll get her real closure.
Yeah. I mean, it still feels unreal, but... Oh my God. Much death in such a short time. It's really hot. But that's sometimes life, and I like that the show's not shying away from showing us the tough reality and scary. It's just heartbreaking. I feel like I just lost my friends.
You're right, that's life sometimes. People lose relatives and friends in a short span.
That's exactly what Callie said. We forgot to say that, but that quote she said, sometimes things die and there's nothing you can do about it. That was heartbreaking.
I think she was talking
about Arizona. Well, she wasn't talking about Arizona, like, although we were made to believe.
She was probably talking about
Mark.
Everything. Yeah. Mark and the project.
She probably feels like her relationship is going down the drain right now because Arizona's so angry with her. Like, there's a lot of meanings behind it.
I'm really curious how Callie kind of deals with Arizona. You know, the kind of... How did she try to get Arizona back on track? I'm really, really curious.
Yeah. Well... We'll
is she avoiding it? Because I
think Callie just has so much she has to do that she's not so much avoiding it. Although she's probably thankful she has stuff to do.
But you know, we were left with a Callie in Arizona. Their last scene together, or one of their last scenes, was "Don't ever leave."
Yeah.
Don't ever leave. That was the scene, you know. So if Arizona feels like Callie is not there, or, you know, I can see how Arizona would blame her. There's blame, but there's also the idea that if Callie is slightly absent, she must be scared to death of losing Callie. And what's easiest to do when you think you're losing someone? It's to push them away.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like something Arizona would do.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be the season of romance, guys, so something good is going to come.
Something wicked this way comes.
Oh, have you seen the titles? There's like 4 now that have a romantic title, and I'm so excited.
Okay, let's tell them.
Huh?
Let's share with the listeners.
Okay. So yeah, the 902 episode, actually that has nothing to do with romantic, but Remember the Time. 903 is called Love the One You're With. 904, I Saw Her Standing There. And then, this is a bit of a leap, but 907 is I Was Made for Loving You.
I was made for loving you, baby.
You were made for loving me.
The only way you've loving me, baby, is to pay a lovely fee. Just one night, give me just one night.
There's no way
you can't pay. Okay. New contest, if you find the song.
Tonight in the name of love. And I can't sing.
Tell us where this comes from, and you'll win a shout out.
You crazy fool.
Okay. I won't give in to you.
Don't. No. We need to continue with the podcast. Actually, we're done.
No, we need to do our seriouslys and to tell people.
Oh, right. Okay.
All right, peeps. This is our discussion for 901, right?
Yes.
I think we've said everything and anything. We've given you some funny stuff, some inappropriate stuff, mostly from me, and some very deep, insightful stuff, mostly from Amanda.
Thanks. I think I said some pretty inappropriate stuff too, though.
Let's not edit it out.
Okay, I'll try not to.
Let's make them see our true colors. That's the new, that's our vision for the season 9 podcasts.
It's a season of romance.
Shambles!
And our goofiness. Anyways, so yeah, this is our first podcast of season 9. We're really excited to be able to have a new season to talk about.
Also, Shonda's supposed to release something, so you guys should check for that. If you haven't read it yet, check out for that, and we'll probably post it somewhere. She's going to release some kind of whatever.
She already did.
Well, I didn't see it, because remember, I watched it. So, but if you guys didn't read it, you know, look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you guys can find our podcast on iPubble.com. You should really go. There's a lot of fandoms that are covered by that site. Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Glee, many fandoms. Grays is one of the fandoms that you can find news on there. It's actually an awesome site. Check it out. Also, follow us on Twitter. We tweet a lot, questions and stuff. We retweet also a lot of stuff from our followers who are, no joke, hilarious.
Really
hilarious. Sometimes I'm reading my tweets and I laugh out loud and I look like a crazy person. But, you know, so follow us on Twitter. There's Tumblr. Oh, on Twitter we're TSG Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
On Tumblr, that's usually the first place we post our podcast. So if you want to be the first person to see it, just follow us on Tumblr at www.theseriouslygrayspodcast.com. And then you can subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you could rate us and give us comments there, it would help us, you know, become popular. I'm popular. I don't have it, but there's a song. Anyways. And yeah.
Okay. I'm Amanda, and you should seriously be afraid of Medusa.
Yeah! I like it. I love you guys. Bye.